Hey, welcome to Spokane Birth Integrity. I'm Rachel.
I'm Amanda.
And we're the team behind SpokaneBirthResources.com.
Our mission is to connect women and families to local Spokane resources for pregnancy, birth, and postpartum care.
On each episode, we'll spotlight one of the businesses from our resource directory and discuss baby-related topics.
We'll also check in on each other's lives, talk about ridiculous and probably funny things our children have said and done.
We geek out about the miracle of life and everything that surrounds it. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
We are here talking about in Amanda's car because hashtag moving, we lost our recording space.
And oh, so yeah.
From where we normally do our intros.
R.I.P. my closet.
I know. It was such a big closet. I have closet.
Moment of silence. And
okay.
We're done.
Anyways, I feel like what really wasn't talked about after Rachel gave birth, I mean, she was living with Ross, is like, clearly they wanted to be intimate.
Remember, she's with Joey.
No. That's the end of season 8 and like
she moved out of Ross's house and moved in with Joey?
Right, but when she first had Emma, she went back to Ross's apartment.
That's right.
And then she stayed there because that's when they were singing Baby Got Back.
That's right. Yes.
Which is the best song to sing to your child because I sing booty 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 all the time to mine. In private, people in private. They like clearly wanted to be intimate at some point, but they never really discussed like what is up with sex after having a baby. By the way, this is probably NSFW. Is that the right acronym?
Not safe for work.
We're going to be talking about sex.
Partially.
Partially sex, but
things that happen to your pelvic floor after having a baby.
Right.
So postpartum, intimacy.
All of those things. All those things.
Picking up your kid. We talked
about
that. Yes.
Leaking of pee and poop. All of those things that happen when you're postpartum. And it can be really scary. I mean, you get to that 6-week deadline after having a kid and you're like, oh, gosh be danged it. Do I have to do this? Because sometimes it's traumatizing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't necessarily want to jump back into the sheets with your husband or partner, like, after having a baby, because it could still hurt.
There's a lot of trauma that happened down there.
Well, even if it's good trauma, even if you have a beautiful, picture-perfect birth,
sure.
Sometimes afterwards, you're just like, how is this supposed to go? I just had a bowling ball come out of
me. Well, I guess when I say trauma, I mean like something dramatic happened.
Yes, yes.
It's like the word consequence. It can mean good or bad. I that's how I meant it. Something very crazy, wonderful happened. Yeah. And now your body is different. So how are you going to live with this new body and continue on with regular life?
It's like, can you just be whelmed?
I can be overwhelmed and I can be underwhelmed, but can I just be whelmed?
Oh gosh, R.I.P. Heath Ledger. Aww. Anyways,
you make me sad.
I know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. We just quoted 10 things I hate about you. Because apparently that's how well we know all of our movie quotes.
This is just chock full of movie quotes.
Yes, it is. However,
so we talk about all those things.
Right. But Beth does such a good job of like staying really even keeled with us because you can tell that like we don't necessarily know what we're trying to ask, but she gets it. And so she explains like what happens to your pelvic floor after you have a baby and like what does returning back to normal actually look like for the majority of the population and what can be warning points or red flags for you to say, ugh, I think I need to go see a pelvic floor therapist.
Yeah. And this is probably the least awkward conversation you will ever hear about postpartum pelvic floor and intimacy issues.
Right.
Because she just normalizes it. Just the way that she talks about it, it's like, oh yeah, that does happen to everybody. There's no reason why I should be nervous to express what's happening to me outside of a joking. Like, it can be really hard to talk about something seriously when everyone's joking about peeing their pants.
Right. And it can be really hard to be like, no, I actually am like having intimacy issues with my husband. Because, that isn't something that you're really supposed to talk about, but it should be talked about. Like, it's normal. We all know how babies came into this, are, like, first made and come into this world. Mm-hmm. Like, sex happens. Babies then happen.
Right. Right.
We should be able to at least just, like, normalize and say, I'm having an issue mm-hmm. with going to the bathroom. I'm having an issue working out. I'm having an issue having sex. Mm-hmm. It's all life.
Yeah.
It's all one thing.
And just to maximize your quality of life across the board.
Right.
Because no one should have to live in pain or in fear or in, you know, she's there to give you the best quality of life that she can. And I think she uses that phrase quality yeah. of life quite a yeah. bit. And I, after that, I was like, man, I need a pelvic floor therapist.
Oh my gosh. Well, as following our conversation with Julia, when I feel like a lot of my pelvic floor issues got laid out, mm-hmm. even more come out with Beth.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for why Rachel should be seeing a pelvic floor therapist on the reg. And I don't. So
it's hard yeah. to take care of yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's
not
hard
just you, just in general.
It's hard to schedule when you're taking care of a lot of other
yes.
humans
yep.
and animals mm-hmm. and your life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hashtag LYFE life.
Life. Oh, man.
So we hope you enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Bethann Solberg. Mm-hmm. Who is with her physical therapy, and Kaylee Dunham, who is also part of this series. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have a great time listening to us talk about intimate issues.
Yes.
We are in our three-part series of pelvic health and how that affects women. And so we talked to Julia at CORE, and we're talking to Kaylee about pediatrics. And then you're here to talk to us about postpartum pelvic health and how that relates, really, because that just walks us right into a sex issues, because that's a big part of what brings women in.
And like incontinence too is a big...
Yes. After anything postpartum
yeah.
brings moms in because they want to get better. They want to feel better mm-hmm. And everything else like that. We're here today with Bethann, and she is a partner at Her Physical Therapy. Yeah. Why don't you tell us about yourself?
Yes, I am a physical therapist. I am specialized in pelvic floor physical therapy. A little bit about my background, I guess, is I attended Idaho State University for physical therapy school, and then my last semester of PT school, I got pregnant with my first, and I took my boards and trekked across the country for my husband to finish his schooling, mm-hmm. had our kid, and then I started practicing there in Omaha at a hospital for 3 years while we lived there, and I had our second son as well while we lived there. And then my husband specialized, so we trekked across the country again to San Diego, and then I worked in an outpatient PT office there as well as a pelvic floor physical therapist for 2 years, and had our third son there.
Three boys.
Yep. And I've been practicing for PT now for 5+ years and specializing in pelvic floor physical therapy. When I was in PT school, I knew immediately that I wanted to get into this area. Back then, it was called women's health. Changed it now to be more inclusive of men and children. Mm-hmm. So whether you call it pelvic health physical therapist or pelvic floor physical therapist, women's health, it's all the same. So when I was in school, I knew I wanted to do it. To continue on with that. So I started early on in my schooling there and took the early on course to become specialized so I could do some clinical rotations in it, and just fell in love with it. And when I had more kids, I just felt like there was more and more need. And I originally got into it because a close family / friend had a lot of struggles with some pelvic health issues, and they couldn't find the resources locally for them, and they had to travel 4 hours to even seek treatment.
Oof.
So I realized that there was a need really early on for it, and I also felt like it fit the lifestyle for being a mom, where I can be at home with my kids as well as treating patients. And so that was a win-win for me, because...
Yeah, it's not like being in the hospital where you
have your set schedule or you're there 8 to 5 and seeing patients.
Yes, yeah.
Like that.
I feel very blessed because wherever we've gone, there's been such a need that I present them with the hours that I can fit in with our family. And I've been able to work and get the education that I need because of that and still be at home with my kids.
Mm. That's awesome. Now, do you still have the business Soul PT, S-O-E-L PT?
So I've kind of changed it a little bit. Okay. I started out with that on my Instagram and trying to, because I, with Kaylee and I and how we work, she has her own set schedule. I have my own set schedule. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I'm trying to build up my own clientele and getting a name for myself out there. So I started with that, but Kaylee and I kind of talked. We felt like maybe it wasn't connecting the two, that I was like with her physical therapy. Mm-hmm. So we changed it up for the time being. I can't remember.
Yes. Yeah. But you are a part of her.
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
You have her PT in your
handle. I have it now. It's Bethann _ her PT. And okay. It used to be Soul Pelvic PT.
Yes. Okay. So. That makes sense. Okay, so you're currently with Kaylee practicing here.
Yes. Okay. Yep. We don't practice at the same time because we share the same space.
So yeah.
She has, when I met with Kaylee initially, it just jived well because she had the same goals and lifestyle that I did. Mm-hmm. Like, we were moms first and we have a passion for treating in the pelvic floor, pelvic health area for physical therapy. And so we wanted a good balance, and I just felt like those ideals aligned and values aligned.
Yeah.
And Kaylee felt the same way. She said, I never even thought about hiring someone on or bringing someone on, but when you showed up with the background and the knowledge and the skills, that it was an easy transition.
So how did you get connected with Kaylee in the first place? Because you moved up here
over a year ago. Yeah.
From San Diego.
Mm-hmm. So kind of wherever I've moved, I've just Googled or searched the local pelvic PTs in the area, and I've dropped off resumes. So that's what I did in San Diego, and that's how I found my job there. Kind of did the same thing here. Kind of, I knew that Kaylee had this office. She was a pelvic floor PT. Dropped it off. Didn't actually see her because she's in and out of the office quite a lot, but got a call from her, and the rest was history. So it was just more Googling.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we definitely understand the Google train because yes. That's how Spokane Birth Resources came to be, is that it's easier to find one website that has all of the resources than it is to Google and have to go through all of the resources yourself and hope and pray that they all got listed on that first page, yes. Which is never going to happen. Sorry, Google. Yeah. Sorry, world.
I feel like the trend with that is going towards, like, Facebook mom groups. So I even yes. went through that, like, searched pelvic floor PTs, mm-hmm. and then people brought up their recommendations because mm-hmm. that's where you're going to get, oh, I like this person for this reason, or just mm-hmm. listing people out.
What is your favorite thing about moving back to the Inland Northwest? Because we normally would say Spokane, but you live here in Post yes. Falls. And so what is your favorite thing about this area?
Oh, I'll have to preface this saying that my family, with being like having three boys, we have to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. And we especially learned that early on in San Diego, especially when COVID hit, that we like had to get out and figure out what to do outside. So we got really into going to the beach a lot. So when we moved here, like it just fit naturally. Like my boys loved to bike. My husband and I both ski, he snowboards. So that was like nice transition back into coming back to the outdoors, being in the mountains, mountain biking, all the biking trails. Like we've done Trail of the Coeur d'Alene multiple times. We've done Hiawatha. We skied almost every weekend last winter. So we just love being outside, and that this area has that. Mm-hmm. And it just really, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yeah. We, doing the 1,000 hours outside.
Oh, yeah.
Challenge with my 2-year-old. She was 18 months when we started at the beginning of the year. And so it's been really super fun tracking her. My 7-year-old is outside all the time. She mm-hmm. did an outside farm school and stuff like that. And so it's been so much fun to just be like, okay, I know that I need to go outside, like now, be outside in the morning, and then they want to be outside in the evenings and afternoons and stuff like that. And so it's been, when you're intentional about going outside, it just becomes a part of who you are. Yeah. And it's so nice to be outside.
Yeah.
There's so much to do here, like with the rivers and the lakes, like we've explored a new spot every week, like, all right, let's go to this lake, let's go part of this river, let's go to this part of the river, let's go to this lake, like, and in the winter, oh, we could do this ski hill, we could go to that ski hill, we could do snowshoeing here, cross-country skiing, yeah, 1,000 hours. I'm sure a friend who helps run that.
Oh, with Ginny?
Yeah, she takes over sometimes with the Instagram account.
Oh, nice.
So there's an Instagram account, right?
Yeah, there is.
That's about the same.
Yeah, it's the 1,000 hours outside. The founder lives is actually where I used to live in Michigan. And so she goes to a lot of the same parks that I went to growing up. And I'm like, oh, nice.
I recognize that place.
I love it. Yeah. So it's been really cool because she homeschools her kids and she's in Michigan. And that's just part of my background. And I love Michigan, so it's nice to be able to revisit spots for her Instagram, basically.
Vicariously living through her.
Yeah, yes. Essentially.
So what would you say is the most underestimated thing about the postpartum pelvic floor? Like, what do people,
like,
anticipate the least?
Right. Like, most people anticipate, we'll use incontinence, because we talked about that. A lot of moms are like, oh, okay, I'll probably be peeing when I sneeze, when I cough, when I jump, because that's...
For the rest of my life, it's inevitable.
Right. And so that's like something that they expect. What is something that women in the postpartum underestimate?
It's a good question. One, the first thing that came to mind was sometimes how long it can take you to get back after delivery. Mm-hmm. And that also varies on your form of delivery, whether it's a vaginal delivery versus a C-section. Just putting those two side by side, and then, you know, you can go down different roads with those different vaginal deliveries, whether you tour, if the OB used an episiotomy, or they use forceps or vacuum, even into a C-section, if you were in labor for a really long time, and then you had to resort to a C-section, and how you can have, I think, a lot of times moms after C-sections too, because they labored for so long, they'd be like, I have both that I have to recover from because I couldn't actually deliver vaginally. Or they underestimate, like, the C-section recovery and how much it can affect you and the long term of that. So I would say the rehab part of that, whether that ranges from, like, returning back to exercise, urinary or bowel. Bowel's not talked a lot about with those as well. And then returning to intercourse. And that can even vary too, between moms who've had like one baby and then they have their second, third, or even fourth child, and that can change too. I had a friend recently reach out to me. She's had a C-section on all of them, and she just had her fourth C-section, and she's like, my recovery is way different. I like, can you help me find someone to go to, or do you feel like I need to go see someone? And she told me what was going on. She's used to C-section recovery, but it was way different after that time, and she's had a different OB so than her previous OBs. So that can vary. And then I think a big one I find a lot with women who come into me, and these are obviously the women who have something going on, so they seek out treatment. So I see the specific, a very narrow postpartum mom when it comes to that. So this is not speaking to everyone. But I think a lot of it is they don't understand the hormone changes that happen afterwards and how much that affects your tissues in your pelvic floor, especially like the vulva area and into the vagina. And a lot of moms will, they don't understand, like all their doctor tells them is you need to use a lot of lube. They don't understand what's going on with their hormones, that it can be because you're breastfeeding, so you have decreased estrogen, and then the resources that they need for that, like, yeah, you could start using a type of moisturizer down there, making sure that it's a good clean moisturizer, or you can even go into some more topical estrogen with that, with the permission and guidance of your OB. But those are options that sometimes women are not aware of, and they just think that they have
dryness or friction.
Yeah, that dryness and friction, like all of a sudden it wasn't there before and now it's there now, and they don't know what to do besides just applying a lot of extra lube.
What is a typical length of time, maybe not typical, what is a common length of time of for recovery. Like, instead of saying, oh, yeah, I'll be recovered in 3 months, 6 months.
Or 6 weeks, the magical 6 weeks.
Yes. Right, or the magical six to eight weeks. Is it more like give yourself a year? Give yourself 2 years.
Yeah. I think the best advice I ever got with being a new mom from someone was you've got to give yourself a year. Like, whether that's getting your body back or exercising, give yourself grace for a year. And I think that can apply even longer than a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone's journey is different. So I have a hard time putting a timeline on that. I get asked that a lot. Like, patients ask me that, like, how long is this going to go for? How long am I going to have these symptoms? And it's hard to know. Like, it's variable depending mm-hmm. on what you were prior to this. Did you have anything prior to this? And then all the different factors that lead into it from it. But I would say, answering your question, at least a year. Mm-hmm. Moms need to give themselves a little bit more grace with that.
Yeah.
Especially when it returns back to exercise too. Like, we want to jump back in. Like, I'm one of those. Like, I jump back in maybe a lot sooner than I should because exercise is an outlet for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same.
Yeah. I loved Kaylee's documentation after her first and second kid. She documented a lot of her workout and CrossFit stuff. And she was like, can't do that. I'm just going to do modifications, or I'm going to do lighter, or I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And just like, and took her time. And so that was a big encouragement.
And she normalized it, which was really encouraging.
Right.
Like, the fact that she was, like we were talking about before, it's not a failure.
Right.
It's realizing how you can take care of your body well at a certain point
mm-hmm.
in your life. And I think part of the reason why a lot of women want to jump back into exercise specifically is because it's such a relief to have that weight out of you that it's like, yeah, I can get back to it. That's how I felt. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not pregnant anymore, but I'm now postpartum and I need to mm-hmm. give my body time. And we live in such a fast-paced society that a year sounds like forever, but that sounds like we need to start looking at it as a really good foundation on which to build.
Agreed.
For the rest of our postpartum Agreed. Lives.
I just came up a year, so my son is 15 months
mm-hmm.
and I have to do the same thing. I'm like, oh, I'm over a year out. I should be back to where I'm at, and I'm not. And like the same thing you like said, like I go to do specific exercises for put it up for core, and it's like mm. a very specific core exercise. I mean, obviously I have a lot more education behind me, so I can notice like, oh, I am not able to hold that position. I still need to scale back, whereas prior I didn't. Like, it's just going to take me a little bit mm. longer, or I have to focus on that a little bit more. But taking that year to build that foundation is a good thing. And as women, like you talked about, like, I think society's trying to change it. Used to be like, oh, you bounce back, lose that weight really quick. And I think society's trying to change it, but it's going to take a long time. I don't think we're there yet.
Right.
Like, it's still out there.
Well, and the people who are bouncing back, quote unquote, are having surgery. And that's how a lot of them yeah. are. Like, the not like celebrities, like the people yeah. that are out in front of us all the time. It's like, she lost all her baby weight in 3 days. And it's like, that's not realistic. Like, yeah. let's not add that. But we are slowly but surely changing, mm-hmm. I think, into give yourself a hot minute, because you just did an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And you're now doing an amazing thing, taking care of a new human.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us want to be, yeah, I'm that strong mom who can get back out there and I can do these things.
Right.
And we want to put on that face that like, we can do it. And that's me. I'm like, I can do these hard things, and realistically sometimes it's not the healthiest.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what I love, what I really want to get out there and provide that support for moms, is helping them early on, giving them that foundation so they don't get to even 6 weeks, get to 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, and now they're starting to think about it. Like, let's give them the tools now at that 2, 3, 4 weeks postpartum. Like, these are the stuff that you can start doing. You can start feeling empowered about it. And it's not like big things. It's more like, let's teach you how to breathe. Let's teach you how to move your pelvic floor with your diaphragm. Let's teach you how to turn on that inner core with your breath work.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. And then they can utilize that throughout their day, because when moms go home, they still have to pick up baby.
Mm-hmm.
C-section moms, they still have to pick up baby. They have to put baby in crib. They have to hold them in a nursing position, or, you know, bottle feeding, or hold them while they get the bottle ready. So there's a lot of imbalances happening, and they're honestly, I don't feel like they're getting the support that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. What is the probably the most overestimated thing about postpartum pelvic health? So, like, we talked about the underestimated, like, moms underestimate how long it should really take. What's the most overestimated?
One of the things that is overestimated is living with the urinary incontinence or the fecal incontinence, the stress incontinence, urge incontinence. And I think it stems from a generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was passed down from grandmas, our mothers,
mm-hmm.
that I can't go jump on the trampoline with you because I'm going to leak, or I can't wear my light-skinned leggings because I'm going to leak during my exercise class, mm-hmm. or it's normal for you to scurry out of the class or out of your fitness class after 5 minutes of being there to go use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that to me, and I would agree, a lot of pelvic floor PTs would agree that that's showing a dysfunction in the pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm. While you're thinking, I just saw something on Instagram, probably, let's be honest. and it said, you know, it was a quote of a dad talking to, like, a daughter or mom talking to a daughter. And she was like, what'd you do without the internet? Like, did you just know everything? And the joke was like, no, we asked our aunt, Aunt Velma, and she told us wrong information. And then we just carried that for 20 years and passed that along. Like, that's what we did before the internet. And I was like, how accurate is that? I mean, because as you just pointed out, it's a generational thing. It's a cyclical thing, is that if you have a piece of information and it works for you, then that's what everybody should be doing. And that's what everybody in your family should be doing. But not everybody in your family is the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say the other thing is prolapse. That's a big one too, is that feeling of falling out, your bladder falling out,
mm-hmm.
or that pressure in your pelvic floor is a common one for women to just... That's just how it is. Okay, I have one, but maybe this might be a little controversial. Another one that I feel like, and this I think is maybe a newer one, and I get it a lot, is I can't do that exercise because it's going to make everything worse.
Hmm.
So there's a big thing out there, and I think Kaylee, I've seen some of her old posts about this, about diastasis recti, like,
yeah,
I can't do that
crunch
anymore because I have a diastasis recti. And so you'll get more moms in here who have a fear of doing exercises because they're going to make things worse.
Yes.
I'm like, no.
I have heard that.
I've heard that too.
So that's where I talk about getting on early postpartum, teaching them how to re-engage. Like, it's in your transfer, your inner core is always meant to turn. Like, it's not just off. Like, when you walk, your core is turning on. Now, there might be some dysfunction or patterns that happen along the way where we have to reestablish that. And pregnancy can be one of those, a C-section, especially because they cut through all those layers. And so giving moms the tools to learn how to feel that properly, turn on, and then say, okay, now carry that through with your exercises. Okay, you want to do a plank? Let's see you do a plank. Okay, perfect. Or not. You maybe just go back and then you can work up to a plank. Don't just rule out. You can never do a sit-up again. You can't ever do a plank. You can't do a side. Like, those types of things.
Yeah.
I think there was an over fear of that.
Yeah.
So is it true that you can make things worse? Or is that a myth? Be controversial. You do you.
I think that depends.
Mm-hmm. Like, to what extreme that you're doing it?
Yes. Mm. I think there's signs of it. And the world of diastasis recti in particular is evolving. Before it was, we got to close the gap, got to close the gap. And that's been thrown out the window as, no, we need to create tension in that and make sure that you can turn that on functionally. So functionally meaning everyday movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all about closing the gap anymore. So technically, I don't know if you could make it worse, quote unquote, but you're not making it better.
Mm. Mm-hmm. By avoiding the movement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you go to the extreme where some women just like, well, I can't do anything. Like, no, you can do stuff. And they're almost looking for permission. I'll have patients be like, oh, am I okay to, can I start walking? Like, yes, you can start walking. You need to be doing that. Yeah. Now, if you start having symptoms, afterwards and let's figure out at what point, and then we'll work up to that. Or running is a big one. That would be a hard one too, is getting them rehabbed up to that point and then getting them back into running.
It helps to have someone outside of your own head giving you permission to do something. Because there's a lot of negative self-talk that happens. It just helps to get it out sometimes.
What other myths or misconceptions do you deal with? Because since we're already talking about that, especially, I mean, to direct the conversation a little bit, but what are some myths of surrounding sex, like after having your first baby? Because, like, I feel like we were like, hey, you really don't want to do anything until after 6 weeks. And then I feel like it was so strongly stated to me that it was like a fear of the first time after sex too, because it was like
after baby.
Painful.
Right. Yes. Yes. After baby, of where you're just saying like, this is going to be the worst experience of my life. And I have to like really prepare myself, even though I just went and birthed a baby, like this is going to be way worse.
Yeah.
Or there's trauma surrounding your birth, and therefore the first or next couple of times surrounding sex is like, that's traumatizing to me. So what are some myths or myths and misconceptions surrounding that?
THs are hard.
They are. Is that clear for the microphone, right?
Yeah.
I think you stated it was that it's going to be painful. It's going to be uncomfortable. That maybe your sex life is going to change forever now. Things are going to be loose. I think is a lot of mom's concern is like, oh, it's not going to be as pleasurable for my husband because it's looser down there.
My stuff's going to like fall out, or I'm not going to have as good of control for like incontinence.
Yeah, like leaking during it.
Yeah.
Definitely a bunch of those. So.
Oh, all right.
So what do you say? Have you ever talked to couples at the same time, or do you usually talk to the woman in the relationship, like
the one who's having the pelvic floor?
Right.
Usually
yes.
It's the female.
Okay.
I've had conversations and have had the partner come in if the spouse wants them to, if they feel like, especially if it's something that we can teach the partner to help with. Whether that's treatment or
to like help activate core muscles. Cause I know that that's a big part of it, is like learning specific like pressures to help your brain activate stuff.
Yeah. And then too, like helping them understand what's going on. And that's a big thing of, I find that a lot of, I haven't had too many, but a lot of my patients have had really supportive spouses, and there's been some that haven't, and you can tell the difference of how it goes, like how it affects the patient.
I guess that's why I asked that, because it seems like when you were saying when you started your schooling, it was called women's health. Like, this is the woman's issue, and once you hop back on the wagon, then we'll be good to go. But it would be neat to see education for both people to understand, like, this is why there's a fear of intimacy, or this is why this isn't working correctly. It's not because anything's wrong between us, because then it gets relational. It gets emotional and relational, and it can lead to a lot of emotional and relational friction to have intimacy issues. And so that's why I asked that, is because I think it would really benefit spouses to hear
from somebody else.
Right. From someone else. Yeah. This is what's happening. Yes. And here's how you can help. I know if someone told my husband, here's how you can fix this, he'd be like, own it. Let's fix this. I can help.
Yeah. Right. And then you're like, well, maybe not. A little too excited there. Yeah.
He just has that kind of personality. Like, you give him a task and he wants.
Well, I think men are like that.
Yes.
They're like,
yes.
Let's fix this. What can we do to fix it? It's the whole thing on like the nail and the nail on the forehead. Like, it's not about the nail.
Yeah. Have you seen that video?
No.
The woman sitting in their living room, she has a nail in her forehead and she's like, my head hurts. And her husband's like, well, you have a nail in your forehead. She's like, I just don't want to have a solution right now. Okay. I just want to talk about why my head hurts.
My sweaters keep getting snagged.
He's like, just take the nail. No, no. I don't want to have solutions right now. I'll show it to you later. Okay. It's really funny.
A lot of the postpartum too, when it comes to pain with intercourse, especially after the baby, and we're not specific to one population when it comes to that, because it can be a prior thing as well. Mm-hmm. It's getting the spouse on board, or the significant other on board, or the partner on board of, okay, how can we help the person? Because intercourse is much more than just the act.
Right.
There's a lot leading up to it.
Right.
There's a lot that leads after it. And so if we can get the spouse on board of like, okay, give an example of maybe a female who has pelvic floor, we call it dyspareunia. So they have pain with penetration, and they can have pelvic floor spasms, what we like to call, after or during intercourse, and so their muscles get really, really tight. And so we'll try to get who's ever there to help them, like, okay, what can we do prior? Can we increase foreplay? Do we need to increase foreplay? Do we need to schedule it so that they can be more prepared? Do we need to do like a warm bath before or a shower? And then there's a lot of aftercare too, like, just because the deed is done doesn't mean that it's maybe done for the woman, because she can have some recurring stuff afterwards. Okay, so what kind of care can they go get
a hot pack
for afterwards? Can they help them go through their stretching with them? Can they help them go through their breathing to help with a lot of that pelvic floor relaxation afterwards to help with the pain?
Mm-hmm. Right. So again, making it so much more relational than just physical.
And that's where, like, getting, if needed, someone else on board too, whether that's like a counselor or a therapist, is really, really important, because there's only so much we can do in one treatment. And so having another team member there as well that needs to, that they can have that resource to help them work through it. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, it's very much relational. And the female, when they go through pregnancy and postpartum, like, there's a lot that changes, right? Your body changes. The way you perceive your body changes. And a lot of that plays into sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can feel very lonely.
Yeah.
Because
because you don't want to talk about it. So you're going to automatically think, I'm the only one who's going through this sex issue. I'm the only one who is having this type of...
Can I give an example? So there's a tool out there called Onnit. It's a device.
That's not like a donut.
No, it's not like a donut, because so it helps with those that have pain with penetration. Mm-hmm. And it's a device that helps kind of cushion the penetration. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I was talking about it with a patient once, and I brought this up, and we brought the website up, and I showed them, and she had like this light bulb moment, and she's like, I'm not the, like, they have this out there. I must not be the only one who suffers through this. And I was like, No, honey, like, you are not, like, I don't want you to feel alone, because this is not, you will not be the first and you will not be the last of a woman who has this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And has issues. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like something outside of who they are.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that. That's my favorite, is just that light bulb of, oh, snap. Like, it could be the smallest thing, but my life has totally changed. Because I know that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
In this struggle.
What are common issues besides pain with penetration after sex, after having a baby? Or, sorry, with sex after having a baby.
Like other issues accompanying sex?
Yeah.
With the pelvic floor in particular?
Always with the pelvic floor in particular.
Everyone's got a pelvis.
You were just talking about, like, common issues, because you were talking about the Onnit and stuff like that. And so one of our questions is, what are common issues with sex after having a baby?
Okay. So, like dryness.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like what needs to be
seen? How specific are we getting?
Specific as you want. Right,
this is,
okay.
Whatever you want to talk about. Or you could talk about what you see, what needs to be seen usually, like, or tended to, yeah. Like your friend who contacted you when she was like, hey, I'm having these issues. Like,
man, I could say every postpartum mom needs to see a pelvic floor PT.
And that's okay to say. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I want to normalize, like, even if nothing is going on, let's get you in at that 2 to 4 week mark. Let's check in.
Yeah.
So that you don't get along down the road and something like this happens.
Yeah. Ideally, you want to see them when pregnant. So that way, then you could just be like, hey,
by the way, after you have that baby, come see me after 2 weeks, after 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't come see me at 2 months and be like, yeah, I've had this going on.
Yeah. That's why I like to offer. I have a, we're going to plug a little business in.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Calling it my pregnancy bundle. I got it to some of the local midwives that if a patient wants to, a package of 4 visits, 3 visits during pregnancy at least, and I want them to save 1 for afterwards.
Nice.
So that they have it. So we can do like first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, and then that 4th. So.
Yeah, cool. That 4th
trimester. And then they can add on.
And then, yes, they need more. They need more, but more of that importance of like, yeah, it's let's check you and let's get you part of your normal care. So back to your question, though, I want to ask your question about sex. So we talked about dryness.
Mm-hmm.
Dryness is a big one. A lot of light bulb moments with mom of like, oh, that's why I'm having dryness. I'm breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. So getting them educated on using like a moisturizer to help it if it's really irritating.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially if moms have had like 3 fourth-degree tears, that's a big one because...
Yeah. Scar tissue?
Scar tissue. And then as soon as you get into those bigger tears, you get into fecal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a big thing with moms, especially with sex, because they're unsure if they're, like, going to, you know, leak.
Yeah.
At some point where they
like
feel...
Like when orgasming or anything
like
that.
Yeah, or, like, just feeling yucky about themselves. And like you said, that plays into... intercourse, so they're not sure when, like, if they're going to have an accident. Tissues can feel different, so that kind of goes along with the dryness, but a lot of that scarring down from that what we call the perineal body. So the perineal body is that junction between the opening of the vagina and the anus,
mm-hmm.
and that's is what gets torn, and so there can be a lot of tearing down, and that's what needs to lengthen when you have movement of the pelvic floor, penetration. You could have pain not just with insertion, but with thrusting. So mm-hmm. that kind of indicates deep pelvic floor.
I was going to say, that's pain. Like the deepness mm-hmm. towards the cervix, right?
Yeah, and so that can arise with moms who maybe have had trauma down the road that they've never dealt with, like from the coccyx. So the coccyx has attachments to the pelvic floor, and so that can arise. It would be amazing how many times you'd be like, doing an assessment, and I'll be like, so we talked about it, you have like low back pain and you didn't see any trauma, but have you ever fallen on your tailbone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that one time I was walking along the sidewalk and I slipped and I fell on my tailbone. I'm like, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Or like mom's thinking that sitting for like afterwards the tailbone starts to hurt.
Or throb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's something that can be an indicator, and it can lead into sex as well.
Yeah. Gosh, there's all sorts of stuff here.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, even lead into, like, if we dive into not just specific to the pelvic floor, but you lead into C-sections, whether the positions that you're in for sex, but any pressure on top of the C-section scar can be really tender for moms. A lot of moms are just educated on, yeah, like, do a little bit of massaging on your C-section scar will help it, but that's sometimes it.
Mm-hmm.
And so giving them the tools of like, okay, yeah, let's teach you how to what we call desensitization of the area so that it gets used to having, you know, pressure on that area.
Yeah.
You know, say a mom who the most comfortable position for them is on their back.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they can't have that pressure on that C-section scar.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to affect it.
Well, and all your muscles are running that way, right? They're all running down to your pubic bone and down that way. So, I mean, you have it sliced open. So all of a sudden, muscles are not doing what they're made to do, which is to lengthen and shorten. And so...
And to move in all patterns.
Right. And so
pain.
It will drastically affect, like, how your muscles are working in your core and down through your pubic bone. Because it's like,
it's a system.
There's a reason why it's called the saddle.
Yeah.
It's because it's like, it holds you all together. You can't see any of my hand positioning right now. But
they're so graphic.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about, like, aha moments for moms, like, you're touching on their C-section scar, working on belly for different reasons. Like, I feel that in my pelvis. And you're like, Or you're in their pelvic floor working on the muscles, and they're like, I feel that in my hip. And you're like, well, that's because I am on your hip, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. We had an evaluation
mm-hmm.
done with Lake City PT.
Yeah, Sheree wanted to show us her ultrasound machine. For your pelvic floors.
Incredible.
It was fascinating.
So fascinating. And she spent a good chunk of time on each of us.
Yeah.
And had us, you know, like, squeeze this and do this and whatever. And I was like, I'm so competitive. And because of all the CrossFit I do, I'm like, I got this. I'm going to ace it. I'm so strong. And then I was like, I don't work out my pelvic floor on a daily basis. Like, it's a totally different thing. Workout. Yes, totally.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's, like, an aha moment, too, with a lot of moms when you're teaching them. And I teach, and maybe they talk about this, too, in other podcasts, but there's so much more than just Kegels. Like, I don't give moms Kegels. I don't just say, okay, go home and do Kegels.
That is what I was told after my first one. Was like, that was the therapy, was like, okay, start doing like 100 Kegels an hour. And I was like, what? As I'm at home being like, I think I forgot how to live right now.
You want me to squeeze? Yeah. What?
Yeah. Brushing teeth, showering, eating. Those
all
are
all the
like,
time.
Right. Yeah.
When is your pelvic floor going to relax?
I don't. Yeah. And that's my issue. When we were doing the ultrasound, I like am insanely tight.
I've got a narrow pelvis.
I like my hip flexors are
shot.
Yeah.
So you probably, if based on what you said, I wouldn't have been having you do Kegels. I would have worked on coordination. I would have worked on breathing. And once you've shown to me, then I'd be like, all right, let's move you functionally. Yeah. And so that's what I do is I'm like, moms, okay, you're standing all day. We're going to just put this out there. Let's assess you in standing. Holding baby, too. Great. Because a lot of moms will come in with their babies postpartum. Mm-hmm. And so I welcome that because we all know that finding a baby babysitter sometimes is very difficult.
Right.
Or like scheduling. So holding baby, assessing their pelvic floor and standing.
Mm-hmm.
How many moms have been like, I feel that now. And it's more than just a Kegel. It's breath work. I'm not telling you to just do a Kegel. I'm like, let's do it with your breathing. Oh, I felt that with my breathing work that we're doing. Okay, let's add some movement with an armband. Oh, wow, I felt that a lot more. That's more functional pelvic floor training than a Kegel will do for you any day.
Right, yeah. I mean, because you can be, how do I say this so very kindly?
You can edit it out.
Yeah. You can have, like, it's having your butt just absolutely, like, glued, right? You can, like, crack a walnut because you're so wound tightly because that's, how, like, and so that's how kind of how I feel. Because
you're sitting, like, there with a butt grip.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I had to learn how to relax.
Ungrip, yeah.
Relax my hips, relax the pelvic floor. And that's what I worked on with my second pregnancy, was learning how to, like, just not be so tight so that way I didn't pee so that way I could like move around or run and not have to worry about it. And so I had to learn how to just relax, and then I could actually
move
and slightly tighten it when I was about to like go running after my daughter and stuff like that. And so because when you're just so tight, you just can't make it any tighter.
Well, you'll appreciate going back to physiology, sarcomeres, right?
Mm-hmm.
You learn about it, like if they're already crossed, how can they cross more?
Yeah.
They can't. So you have to get movement to get the action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't relax it, you never learn how to lengthen.
How you can ever bring it back up and in.
Yep.
And their body is made to do it. Like, that's the big thing is our body was designed. Like, our pelvic floor has nervous system innervations that anticipate movement.
Mm-hmm.
Our organs are not falling out, are they? So our pelvic floor is working. There's also other structural supports in there, the bony structures, the connective tissue, but our pelvic floor assists in that. And you're not walking around with your bladder on the floor, right? So
hopefully not.
Your pelvic floor is working.
Right.
So it's anticipating that movement. Well, let's key into that.
Right.
And your body can work, but it can work dysfunctionally.
Yes,
like you can walk, but you can do it totally wrong. And so
body will start showing signs of that.
Right. Because it's compensating other places. So what you're trying to teach women is how to help your body function at its optimal level.
Yeah, and that normalizing stuff, like, well, that's not normal for you to have pain with intercourse. Let's help address that. That's not normal for you to be having to use the bathroom every 30 minutes or an hour. Gosh. Just because someone tells you that your bladder's small doesn't mean that that's healthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes me tired. Thinking about peeing that often.
Right. Or restricting your fluid intake and knowing that restricting your fluid intake actually makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a mom who's trying to breastfeed who's hydrating and they're like, well, I have to pee all the time now. And
might as well just insert a catheter and keep going.
Oh, no, thank you. Catheters for me. But yeah, true. Yeah.
So it sounds like the underlying message that keeps coming up is just communication. Mm-hmm. Like if there's an issue between you and your spouse, communicate. If you have something that you think no one else is going through, communicate it. Call her physical therapy. Call Beth Ann. Call Kaylee. Call somebody and just say,
go to Spokane Birth Resources and look through our pelvic health category because there's several in this area.
Yeah, there's so many good ones. Yeah.
Because dysfunction comes from miscommunication or just no communication at all.
Right.
And we live in a society that is trying to normalize talking about things that are helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I keep hearing is communicate.
Yeah. And I think a lot about it is education.
Yes.
Yes.
Like if we can step in there and educate our patients, male, female, then a lot of this can be resolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's trying to figure out how to get that education out there and how to do it in the correct form that people will understand.
Yeah. That's not WebMD. Like from a real person.
Right. And I think too, working as a community within the healthcare system is big too, and utilizing everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see it, then refer out, get your team together.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite success story or a favorite like improvement or anything like that? That HIPAA, we always say it's always a HIPAA thing, but do you have a favorite story or memory of like a client that you're like, yes, this was exactly what they needed?
Yeah, I have two, and they're kind of different directions. One, postpartum mom had a lot of surgeries and a lot of scarring down and was having pain with intercourse and came in, was mind blown about a lot of the stuff and worked with her for 2-3 months and got her doing everything on her own. And she was so ecstatic. She's like, I never thought this was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives me passion on that way because she was a patient that wanted to get better. She put forth the effort. She came in for her appointments.
She was very motivated.
Yes. Yes. And then another one, it wasn't quite a success story because I wasn't able to see her through her entire treatment. There were some barriers to care that way. So I was able to see her a couple times. But there was just a lot of educating that we went on. And she was a postpartum mom who came in, had several kids, had a lot of some trauma history, had been told by some providers about stuff that made her have a lot of fear. And so that's why she came in to see me, was to get some answers that way. And that first appointment was just like, you could just see the relief on her face. Like, mm-hmm. I've been living this for so long. And she was one of those patients, I'm like, I wish I would have seen you way back when so you wouldn't have to carry this burden for so long
mm-hmm.
and have to live with so many of these other barriers to your life. Like, she had fear of going to do stuff with her kids because she was afraid of certain things happening. And seeing that relief of, like, yeah, let's work on this. Let's do this. And then having her come back and, you know, feeling that sense of hope
mm-hmm.
was really cool. And that's just what drives me is, like, how can we help more moms like this
mm-hmm.
and go through this? How can we help providers know that we're here to help and help them assist? Like, if there are these things that come up, like, use this as a resource because as we know, there's like a doctor shortage and they can't take on a lot of that themselves because they have to see so many patients and
mm-hmm.
you know, use this as a resource that way.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a piece of advice that you could leave us with, mm-hmm. to pregnant moms, to postpartum moms, to, yeah, to the population that you generally work with. What would be your piece of advice?
Whether like specific, you know, incontinence or pain with sex or any type of hip pain, back pain, low back pain, or any, just anything that's preventing you from living your life that you want to do, whether that's getting back to doing stuff with your kids, your family, your spouse, and there's something that is a barrier to that, know that that is not normal. Mm-hmm. You don't need to live with it. Start asking questions. Ask your provider. If they're not giving you answers, you know, seek someone else. Look for the community. Go to Spokane Resources. Look through that, because as a mom, you take on a lot of stuff. You take mm-hmm. on childbearing. You take on a huge role of that homemaker. Mm-hmm. And you need to take care of yourself. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to have a harder time taking care of your children. And you might lose yourself in the process. And I don't like seeing women feel that way. And so seek help for that and ask questions. Educate yourself. I feel like prior to pregnancy, like, or even when you're pregnant, seek more than one opinion. Educate yourself mm-hmm. that way, because like we said, there's generational things that have been passed down. And if it doesn't feel right to you or doesn't feel natural to you, listen to your gut.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And don't wait.
Right. Don't wait.
Don't wait. Take Beth Ann up on her pregnancy bundle mm-hmm. of her four visits for a special price. And, you know, I see her three times for your pregnancy. Go see her after you give birth. Come see her at her physical therapy office. And then when those kids get older, they can go see Kaylee.
That's right. And so, go ahead.
I was just say, like, if it's the investment, it's easier to get it early on rather than having lived with something chronically and having to pay for it later.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone wanted to see you, how would they get in touch with you?
You can find us on Instagram, and we have a link to our website and our scheduler that way. You can call us.
At our phone number.
You can call it. We have a website. We're on Facebook, Instagram. I'll reach out and mm-hmm. give us a call. I'm always happy to answer questions if they're unsure if this is the right fit for them.
Yeah, make it easy. Go to SpokaneBirthResources.com.
Or SpokaneBPS.
Find their ad, click on it. It will link you to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can check out any of the blog posts, too, by Her Physical Therapy.
Yeah.
We have some from them.
We would love to have you write one, if you like writing.
Love it.
sarcasm. Okay, and then that's it for us. We don't have any more questions.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Is there anything that you wanted to say?
I don't think so.
Perfect.
I don't know what else I should say.
No, you're golden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're a local business in the Spokane and North Idaho area that serves women in the pregnancy, birth, and postpartum stages of life, you want to be on our resource directory. To get started with your high visibility ad, please visit SpokaneBirthResources.com/connect and fill out the form, and we will get in touch with you as soon as possible.